Okay, in Parakei Mishnah Aleph, we're going to go to his second shot, the paragraph beginning, Ayyaymar. Page. Kufayin Gimel. Ayyaymar ba'asara. In the first shot in Asara Mamaris Nivrahailam, his basic theme was the idea that what a person does influences all the Ilamais, etc. Ayyaymar is a second, totally new shot. What did the Mishnah say? That the world was created in 10 utterances to punish Rishayim, who destroy a world that was created with 10 Amirais, and to give reward in the other direction. So it needs an explanation, because it's as if God deliberately created in a more complicated way, and that needs some sort of explanation.
It starts off with the Pranias.
Adam is karav l'chait and rachik l'mitzvah, I guess. The page kufayin gimel. Okay, ayyaymar basara liparav l'itein hinei. Yadua mamare zayar. Of course, we all know the zayar. It says, kutcha b'riachu v'ayrai sechad. It was part of a pirchei song. So, I said, God, Israel, and Torah are one. Anyway, the zayar says, that it says really, Kla Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Dairaisa Chadhu. What's a limer? Ki Klolais HaTorah Hema Asaras HaDibris Ubehem Nichlo Tayag Mitzvah. Let me just explain. There are Asara Mamarais, in which the world was created. Ten, so to speak, utterances, which the world was created. And Asara Asaras HaDibris, with which the Torah was given. The two Asaras are similar. A person who wants to see the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, who wants to see God in this world, can see it in one of two ways. Either through the Shari Yichud, through creation, through the Bria. Somebody who examines the Bria can see in the Bria Yad Hashem. Or in the Aseres HaDibris, a person who's on the Madrega in the study of Torah also sees the Yad Hashem. In both, we see an unimaginable complexity in Torah and in the creation, which bears testimony to a creator. So the Aseres HaDibris are directly related to the Asara Mamarais. We have the physical created world and the spiritual world, which is the world of Torah. Ubehem nichlal tariag mitzvahs k'mashakos of Rashi b'shem Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon finds all tariag mitzvahs in the Aseres HaDibris. V'chem ba'adam. Now, corresponding to that, in creation, in a human being, there's Taryag, Ramach Evar, Vishasai Gidim, which are also eared up to 613, Uklole Seyim, Gamkein Yud, and they're also 10 in general. The Gemara Nedarim says that the main limbs of a person are the two hands, the two feet, the two ears, the two eyes, the mouth, and the Rosh Hagvia. The Ever HaZachor, the Ever HaNekeva. So, those are the ten main limbs. So it corresponds to Torah. Torah has its 10 Aseres HaDibris. And from that come forth Taryag Mitzvahs. In creation, we have a human being has 613 parts, so to speak, to his body. And Beklolon, Bikron, are the 10 Evarim. So it's interesting to me that when Chazal count the 10 main limbs of a person, they count the ears, the mouth, the eyes, but not the nose. I had a chavrusa who didn't have a sense of smell. He didn't make bar mitzvah b'samim on Matzah Shabbos. He didn't have a sense of smell at all. And I realized the difference. God forbid a person can't hear, can't see, or is missing use of his mouth or his arms. It's a major dysfunction in the human being. But this fellow didn't have a sense of smell, and it didn't seem to do him much harm. You know, God forbid, in the middle of the night, there'd be a fire in the building, it would do him harm, but in typical situations, it didn't. So those aren't the main Evarim not one of the main Evarim. So he says, V'yadua ha-mekayim tariag mitzvahs nasa mekol mitzvah levush la'evar al-dikir ha-miyuchid lai. Every one of the tariag mitzvahs corresponds to part of a person's body. And a person who's mekayim a mitzvah gives strength to that part of the body. And the reverse, klolos halavush umikol hatariag yachad. And the klolos halavush that makes the person, all 613, mitzis who are anishba me are elyain, and that's the light that's nishba from the heavenly light, viyud sviris of shehetzil, and the 10 sviris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world, uklolos har, ugamken yud sviris, uprotov tariag ayris, mizeu inyid vatam et vekem v'sham alakechem. So what he's saying is, in the Asar Mamaris Nivra Ha'ilam, and a person is rewarded or punished correspondingly, because the Asara Mamaris of creation correspond to all the opportunities to do mitzvahs. The Asara Mamaris correspond to the 10 main Evarim, so to speak, and the Asar Sadibris, and the same thing with the Tayag parts of the Guf.
Is there anything that specifies like which mitzvah is connected which?
You want to have the whole list of the Tayag and a chart. So if you want to have a stronger right arm, you want to know which mitzvah to do. So I'm not aware. I'm aware only of one thing. It says that the lev is keneged anechi Hashem Elokecha. There's a saying that every Jew has a pintel yid that never disappears. That every yid has a nekuda of yadus in his heart that always remains. And the reason for that is that anechi Hashem Elokecha Shamanu. It says that the first of the Aseres HaDibris, Mrs. Asay, the first Lais Asay as well, we heard directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else we heard through an intermediary, through Moshe. Since it was God's word, which we heard, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that left an indelible imprint on a Jew. And therefore, in his heart, the Yid always has that Yiddish Nekuda, that Pintali Yid, which always can be fanned and hopefully reawakened. But that corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So we would say, someone wants to strengthen his heart, he should work on his emunah and his faith. Beyond that, there are hints and clues, but I don't know anybody who produced a chart of which ones are Kenega and which ones. So that's this idea. The Yud is the letter, interestingly, the Maharal says the Yud is the letter of Achdus in the world. The Yud has no parts to it. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet has different parts to it, a leg, a body, a crown. The Yud is just a splotch of ink. Because Yud is a coming together, a oneness. And it says, Maharal says, you would say Aleph should be Achdus. Aleph is one. So the Maharal says, that's not true. One is uniqueness, it's not Achdus. Achdus, when you have one person, it's easy for him to be united. He's one person, so who's he united with? That's not united. United is when you have different things that come together and gel together and work together, that's unity. Unity is not when one person is by himself. One person himself, Aleph, represents uniqueness rather than Achdus. Coming together. Yud represents Achdus. There's no potential for disagreement, and there's nothing special in the agreement. That's the idea. So this is Atem Adveikim Hashem Elokeichem. You are connected to God, because the human being is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achayte Pagim Chas V'Shalom B'Maimer Chazal Rishoy Matishin Koichei Shemala. As Chazal say, Rishon weaken the heavenly power. Ragdak, ki ein ha-pagam, godl kol kach ve'ein ha-nitzchi. Know that the pagam that a human being causes in himself is not irreversible. Vatam. Ki b'rayv chastei Hashem Yisbarach, yosad, in God's great kindness, he set a foundation, she'be'es ha-shi'echta odom, yisluk mimenu chalkei kedusha, so'i k'dei shalu yifkam aysam. His Chalkei Kedusha go away so that he should not damage them. What?
It's like an amazing protective reaction.
There's an idea. This is in Nefesh HaChaim. This is Hol Arichas. We had once before an idea that the Neshama barely touches the person. It sort of hovers over the person and barely touches him. So that, to give a good marshal to it, it's like a person who how should I say, a person goes to war, so he takes the king takes his greatest treasures and he ships them off to Switzerland, you know, into a vault in Switzerland. Now he hopes to win the war, but his most valuable treasures he wants to have ready in just in case something goes wrong. So the same thing, there's a reaction, just like if something comes towards your eye, instinctively your eyelids close and protect your eye, which is a greater value than your eyelid. Or if a person is freezing, the body instinctively rushes all its blood to the vital organs. The person doesn't think about it. It's an amazing thing about the body. The body preserves its vital organs first. The same thing in Ruchnius, when a person is paigam, he does a chait, the kedusha is nistalik from him. The neshama kedusha is sort of removed. It's in a safe vault. There's a rishima of kedusha, but the kedusha itself not. You can find this kaddish b'yosim mechub l'kedusha. The body, when it's connected to kedusha, has kedusha. So we had this once before in Paragimel. Neshama is not really in the body. So it's as if the neshama, the kedusha, is put in a, so to speak, in a safe place.
Are you trying to say that because the neshama is detached somewhat, so you can't do the, it's not as much damage as if
that's exactly what he's saying. So even though asarma is nevra aylam, can I get a body, and somebody causes damage to himself when he doesn't have aira, nevertheless, it doesn't affect the potential kedusha that he has. So the potential remains. Now skipping the brackets, v'zeu shekasav, the path of life is above a person, lamaskil, for an intelligent person. That which pushes a person to do what's good, we call it his conscience, or the part of a person which pushes him to do good things, lamailahu, umisham tushlach lai, hashefa kedusha. And from there, the shefa kedusha get sent. It's known that even people who are bad people, who are already steeped in sin, have a kind side to them, have a good side to them. I once read that if a person, God forbid, gets stuck in a slum neighborhood in the middle of the night, chas v'shalom, and he sees some, you know, some big dangerous looking kids, he should go over to them and ask them for a kindness. If he's going to challenge them or be tough to them, so I'll be tough to him. But every person has within him a streak of kindness. That's, no matter what he does, it's there. It's somewhere. The potential is there. And if you ask someone for a kindness, a human being has that desire to be kind, to be good, even someone, you know, who's not, you know, every time you have a criminal, you know, they have on the radio, they interview his mother who says he was such a good kid, you know, he's such a wonderful kid. Now, there's something wonderful about everybody, you know, people have a good streak to them. And, although when a person is pagan, what?
During the war, the Nazis, they didn't see anything good at all.
Okay. All right. I'm not looking to find kindness in the actions of anybody. I'm just saying is that even when people are evil, there's a potential for a streak of kindness. The idea that the Nazis were kind to animals, so Rav Kook wrote this idea before the Nazis, he wrote it, that sometimes when people are doing evil things, they have this need to be kind. So it comes out that Zayv Chei Adam Egel Yashakun. People who are murderers, they kiss their pets. Because the kindness of a person has to come out somewhere. If it doesn't come out where it belongs, so he finds some other place for it to come out, so to speak. Getting back, if a human being had it in his power to affect his neshama totally, then if a person sinned, he had no way out. He shouldn't fall into the grave. And this is because Hashem created the world in many parts. and created a world with many branches and many parts. It's a protection that a person is paygim in one thing and not in something else. It's sort of, if you put all your eggs in one basket, you're in trouble. Had Hashem created the world in one mimer, then a pagam would be permanent. It's a Chassidus Shavarat that Chaim Voloshin says, Chassidus Shavarat that Hashem is, brings puranias. Hashem brings tragedies. So it sounds like something terrible. So the Chassidus idea, and that's what he's saying here, is that puranias is a Lashon Pirayim of paying back. So then when a Kadosh Baruch Hu brings an unfortunate instance on a person, at least it pays his bill. He walks away clean from it. So that's what he says, that it remains a pirain. The idea is that in this world, punishment should be in a way that a person can carry on. And to pay up and, so to speak, to start again. So this is his, his theme here, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu created a human being so that he can bounce back. Hashem created the world in many parts, so that even if a person is pagim in one part, he doesn't do damage in the other part. It's a theme in Chazal that a person shouldn't put all his eggs in one basket. They say to diversify. During World War I, when the Germans were marching on Russia, there was a thought to bring all the Sifrei Torah to St. Petersburg for protection. St. Petersburg was a fortress, was a protected city. So the thought was to bring all the Sifrei Torah to St. Petersburg for protection. And our Sameach said not to do it, to leave the Sifrei Torah where they are. And of course, at the end, the Germans destroyed much of St. Petersburg. And they said, our Sameach is a Navi. You know, all the Sifrei Torah had been there. They all would have been in danger. So he said, he's no Navi. Chazal say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu disperse the Jews in all the nations of the world? For protection. So if Jewish life is disturbed in one part of the world, there's another place to run. It's an amazing thing that there seem to be Jews all over the place. I mean, you talk about how many Jews there are in the whole world. We're a tiny drop in the bucket. And wherever you go, there have to be more Jews than they say. No. Wherever you go, you find Jews. You go on the plane to Kentucky. I also met Jews. And wherever you go. So Hashem diversifies. Hashem sends Klal Yisrael, not all in one place, but all over the place. Chazal say the same thing about your investments. Chazal say you should put a third in karka, a third in, in real estate. Although a third in karka really means a third in cash, and a third in real estate, and a third in investment. Chazal say diversify, don't put it everywhere. Today you would say, in municipal bonds and in the market. One goes up, the other goes down. And the other third, I still think that you should invest in Israel. It's an interesting thing. I like to say over that when Herzl died, they raised money. Herzl died a young man, and he left a family. They raised money, and they suggested to his wife, to his widow, that she invest in the Jewish National Fund. They sold bonds. There was no Israel. You know, the only country in the world they were selling bonds 50 years before the country. So she said, it's not a safe investment. So she invested all her money in the bonds of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, yeah, right before World War I. So I mean, that's an old story that I know. I heard recently another story. Ben-Gurion came to America in the early 50s to do a bond drive. Imagine the prime minister goes around fundraising, you know. He did a bond drive. He went to Cuba. This was pre-Castro. And in Cuba, a very wealthy Jewish community. Yeah. And they bought bonds. They bought 10-year bonds or 20-year bonds, you know, Israeli bonds. Castro came. And he nationalized everything. And Jews, many of them didn't get out. Those that got out with their underwear if they were lucky. They got out with nothing. And the Knesset passed a special law that the refugees from Cuba could redeem their bonds before they're due. So that's all they had left. You know, in Cuba they were wealthy men. They got out with nothing, and what they invested in Israel, that's what they had left. It was Saskia, I told you the same thing. So three stories, a bunch of stories together. We see a pattern. With Wasaski, I've told the story that the Netziv, Wasaski was one of the biggest import-export businesses in Russia. Very rich Jew, the richest Jew in Russia. And the Netziv was a big Zionist. He wanted the industry in Israel, and he told them to start to open up an import tea company in Israel. And Mr. Wasaski said famously that in Israel it's 100 degrees. Who's going to drink tea? You know, who's going to drink tea in Israel? And he said, just invest in Israel. So first of all, of course, the British came, who drink tea no matter what the temperature. And then when the Tsar was overthrown, and Wasaski ran away, and he was left with Wasaski tea in Israel. And every Purim, we get part of Mashlech Mana. Someone sends us a package of Wasaski tea, and I, you know, that's a reminder of, so you have three stories. It's a pattern. Anyway, so we diversify. Now, in your print, what do you have? After Ukinal, I have a Hevi Raya Ba'amarai.
And two dots.
So I assume, what does that mean? It means Vevi Raya Ba'amarai Mishtabez. I assume he means to continue on this theme. I told you Perakhe is the Mishnah, is the Perak of Numbers. So I guess next time, what's today? Monday, right? So tomorrow, we'll continue with the Asara Dairis. Okay. That's a